I remember pruning an apricot tree, which had branches going everywhere. I needed to cut off branches so that there would be more fruit. Pruning generally also helps with fruit production, because bigger and tastier fruit is produced. That is the reality of pruning trees, and the same applies across various plants. Jesus describes himself as the true vine, so the rules about pruning also apply to vines. I've experienced hands-on pruning with plants, but I have also experienced being pruned myself so that I would bear more fruit. In late teens, early 20s, I struggled to give enough time to study and work and enough time meeting people and enough time learning from Jesus by myself and with others. I continue to need self-control with managing priorities. I wanted to please Jesus with my life, and I needed to be pruned to bear more fruit for him, to love like Jesus. I needed to experience relationship breakdown and go through hardship. I needed to recognize when sin was a priority, when living for self was more important than living for Jesus. I needed to experience people not liking me because of my sin, so that I would want to be more like Jesus. A lot of that still happens through my life now. Maybe you've experienced things like this. I've thought many times when God has pruned me, how did I not recognize the problem myself? Because of our decisions to live our own way, we need God to remind us through being pruned that he is in control. We need to be pruned to bear more fruit for Jesus. I know that only by the Holy Spirit reminding me what Jesus teaches do I continue to remain in Jesus. Jesus keeps me going because he is the true vine and I belong to him. I grow because of him sustaining me. And just like the roots of the vine sustain each branch that grows. But we have a choice before us. Do we remain with Jesus through being pruned, or do we abandon him? We heard in the passage the word remain repeated. So as I explain God's word today, I'm going to use abide in Jesus instead of remain. I want us to stick with Jesus, to remain with him, but I want us to keep drawing strength and wisdom from Jesus as we stay united to him through turning away from sin and trusting in him. The word remain focuses on sticking with someone, whereas abide has that, but also to continue learning and gaining wisdom from Jesus, to live in him. Not only living in Jesus, but he dwelling in us. Jesus dwelling in us. Abide is a much richer word for what Jesus is describing. Remain is still completely fine to use, but I think abide will help us understand more deeply what Jesus is describing. We are to live and dwell in Christ, who is our eternal home. Well, this is what you can remember today. Abide in Jesus. Well, this is what you can remember today. This is what we can hopefully stick in your brain. Abide in Jesus to bear good fruit. Abide in Jesus to bear good fruit. And to help us understand what Jesus wants of us and who he is through the passage, here are two markers. Firstly, abide in Jesus and he will prune you to bear more fruit. And then secondly, abide in Jesus and keep his commands. So please keep a Bible open to John 15, so you can come with me through God's word to consider how you might live differently in response. Abide in Jesus, and he will prune you to bear more fruit. The true vine is Jesus, and the expert gardener is his Father. Verse 2, the Father cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Jesus sustains life. And if we abide in Jesus, then we are to be fruitful. Just like a branch can only bear fruit if it stays on the vine, being sustained by the roots of the vine. And fruitful, well, that can bring about many images.
If we are to bear fruit, then foundationally we are to love. And we'll delve more into this later, but bearing fruit is intimately tied to showing love. As you abide in Jesus, you are being sustained by him. But as you do all this, you will still be pruned. You will have plans not necessarily go as you planned. God will teach you to remember that he is in control and that he wants you to bear more fruit for him. You might make a choice that hurts others because you didn't consider their perspective. And this brings about conflict. Well, being pruned is not easy, but Jesus says you will be even more fruitful. So you remember to forgive and be more aware of people. You learn from experiences so that you can love more effectively. But those that don't bear fruit, those that don't live to serve Jesus, will be cut off by God the Father. They won't be sustained by Jesus and will not live in him. They will not abide in Jesus. Only by abiding in Jesus will there be good fruit that glorifies God. But we will be pruned to be more fruitful. So think about, what fruit are you showing as you abide in Jesus? You can ask another brother or sister in Christ, how am I going and bearing fruit as I abide in Jesus? And that's a good question for you to ask your spouse this week, or ask a dear friend. How am I going and bearing fruit as I abide in Jesus? On verse 3, Jesus adds, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Jesus has already washed his disciples' feet in John's account and made clear that he will cleanse them, which refers to his work and his death to take on the punishment they and we deserve for our sin. Jesus' words bring about cleanness in our hearts as you seek forgiveness for wrongdoing and come to Jesus, wanting his glory your top priority. And Jesus is the one who cleans us, so we can abide in him forever. We are to abide in Jesus, to remain in him, to keep living in Christ and living for him. He is in us by his Holy Spirit, and we can only bear fruit in him. So if you want to do good, to live as we are meant to live, then you need to abide in Jesus. So Jesus says, verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. There is futility apart from Jesus Christ. You can do nothing without Jesus. Nothing. Your life will be wasted. We need to abide in Jesus to live and live forever. Jesus is the vine, and those who love him are the branches. We are one together. And did you notice that not only do we abide in Jesus, but he in us? We choose to abide in Jesus, but he first chose us to abide in him. You can see verse 16. You will bear much fruit as you abide in Jesus. Now, bearing fruit for Jesus, what can include? Changing your desires to be more like what Jesus desires. Increasingly devoted to Jesus. Changing your thoughts as you think on and learn more from Jesus. Or how you love and treat people. How you serve and build up the body of Christ. We're now to some hard words. Verse 6. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Now, you don't need to be concerned about being thrown out to be burned like the branches that are cut off. If you hear Jesus' words and know he promises to clean our hearts and be in his people. Now, you will know people who don't abide in Jesus. So hear this clearly today. Jesus warns us because he loves us. If you today do not abide in Jesus, then you're not granted eternal life if you ignore Jesus who made you. You will experience fiery punishment for ignoring Jesus. So come to him. Abide in him. And in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. So as you stick close to Jesus, as you live in him and his words abide in you, as you meditate on his words and long for him, you will pray. You will make bold prayers for change in your own heart, to put away greed, arrogance, lust, gluttony, drunkenness. You will want to bear more fruit for him, to ask for a deeper love for people, to ask for zeal to worship God, to ask for boldness to speak of Jesus and his words without shame, but with joy. And Jesus repeats the emphasis on prayer in verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. To bear fruit for Jesus, thinking about how we might use our money, our gifts, our work, our relationships to see the good news of Jesus be heard by more people. So Jesus, he feels this point is important enough to make again. Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. So what are you willing to ask God, your Heavenly Father, for in the name of Jesus? Have confidence in God, your Heavenly Father. Or in growth group, brothers and sisters in Christ have prayed that we would serve one another eagerly out of devotion to Jesus. And I've seen God answer that prayer. I recently prayed for saints here to grow in their love for Jesus, and I've seen answered prayer. Or in the prayer evening recently, we prayed for good opportunities to invite people to carols and have good conversations. I've heard this has happened. Or I recently prayed for Crystal, my wife, to persevere in Christ through sickness in the family, and I saw answered prayer. This isn't about how determined you are in prayer, or how good you think you are to pray, but on how dependent you are on God for everything. You might need to be pruned today to pray more fervently. To pray to a Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus means earnestly seeking to understand God's will so that you pray according to what Jesus wants. So pray and keep on praying. Giving thanks as you pray to our Lord Jesus and ask boldly. And in verse 8, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Abide in Jesus and he will prune you to bear more fruit. And Jesus also makes clear that if we abide in Jesus, we are to keep his commands. So abide in Jesus and keep his commands. Verse 10, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Obeying Jesus is intimately tied to abiding in his love. I'll say that again. Obeying Jesus is intimately tied to abiding in his love. Jesus shows us how to do it because he has kept his Father's commands, so he abides in his Father's love. If you abide in Jesus, you have what you need to abide in his love. So learn from Jesus, and you will want to obey him. Here's a comparison to the life of a parent. As a dad, I want my children to obey me. Now, I suspect most, if not all, dads here want that from their children. I want them to obey me because this is good, but also because I love them and I want the best for them. Children are also in a different stage of life to me. I give my children commands so that they might flourish for Jesus Christ. I tell my children to say sorry to God and people when they've done wrong because this is right. Or I tell my children to thank God for people or thank someone for doing something kind to them. This is good and disobeying would be wrong. As they do this, they abide in my love. Now, if my children persistently ignored me and weren't responsive to me but made up their own minds about what is right, then how can they abide in my love? They don't want my love because they don't care about my commands. So if you want to abide in Jesus' love, to be sustained by Jesus, forgiven and at peace, then obey his commands. How much more do we need to obey Jesus, who made us for his glory? And Jesus' commands are good and flow out of love. And when you don't obey, as we've done today, say, please forgive me, Heavenly Father. You've been made to obey Jesus, so abide in his love. In verse 11, we learn that Jesus focuses on obeying his commands to abide in his love because of joy given to God's people. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus wants us to have joy in obeying him, and he wants our joy to be complete. And this seems to reinforce that through obeying Jesus' commands, there will be completion with our joy. And this joy will be lasting and will give people who love Jesus a deep sense of delight and richness. And this will result in eternal joy as those who love Jesus abide in him. And then verse 12, the focal command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Doesn't that just sound compelling? What a world we would have if that's how we all lived. We don't live in a world where people make loving one another a priority. And actually, many people have a distorted idea of love. Just about feelings or all about romance. Jesus shows us the greatest form of love. Verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. To lay down your life for your friends. Complete sacrifice. Putting yourself on the firing line instead of your friends. Putting yourself on the spot by saying you live for Jesus to a bunch of people who don't know anything about him. Jesus laid down his life because there's only one way for us to have complete joy, unending joy, and to abide in Jesus' love. Someone needs to die, to be punished for our rebellion to God, our sin. We all might seek to do what is right, but I constantly fail at my expectations of myself and definitely God's expectations of me. No matter how good you think you are, you still do wrong and put yourself as a ruler instead of God. And that deserves death. Now, this might seem harsh, but God is from eternity, and he holds everything in his hands. God, the Heavenly Father, made us for glorifying himself. He doesn't want to see rebellion continue forever. He wants peace between us and him. God doesn't want to see each of us die to be punished for our sin, which is why he sent Jesus to lay down his life for us. Jesus took the punishment for our sin that we deserve. What great and deep love from Jesus. So if you have received Jesus by asking God, your Heavenly Father, to forgive you for your sin, and you seek him, then you are Jesus' friend. And you'll also know that you're Jesus' friend because you will do what Jesus commands. And what's the critical command here from Jesus? Love each other as I have loved you. Abide in Jesus to bear good fruit. You can know what the Father is doing as you learn of his will from his word to us. Love each other. And as you love each other, remember how Jesus has loved you. Abide in Jesus, and Jesus will sustain you by his Spirit to love. So how might you respond today? Well, firstly, love each other. That's a clear command today. We love because God first loved us in Christ. There is no greater love than the love God has shown us in Christ Jesus. We do not love so we can get paid back somehow. We do not love because we feel sad for someone. We do not love because I should do it. We love because God first loved us in Christ. It's who we are. We love out of obedience to Christ. And this is true love. Love means putting another's interests as more significant than your own. Love means wanting more and more people to obey Jesus. So how might we love one another this week? Whether you are hospitable, or you encourage someone, or you serve with your gifts for church, or you teach your children from God's word, or you go along to growth group. So many ways. Secondly, abiding in Jesus means you will pray. Praying is bearing fruit for Jesus. You won't be shy in your prayers, but you will be bold. These prayers are to be informed by what Jesus wants of us. Know God and understand him as you meditate on his words. Pray by yourself, with saints, with your family. Give specific thanks to our Heavenly Father for one another. Set a spot each day to pray. I need to pray. We need to pray. So are you praying for a neighbour, colleague, peer at school to know Jesus and for you to take up opportunities to boast in what Jesus has done? Jesus said, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you." Do you believe this? Well, thirdly, abide in Jesus to bear fruit. Abide in Jesus to bear fruit. And remember that bearing fruit results in love for God, for one another, and for our neighbours. Don't try and separate all your expertise with work, experience, and knowledge and say, "I'm very good," and then say you are abiding in Jesus. All that you do and all that you achieve is because of Jesus. In everything you do, in everything you think, abide in Jesus. He is the one who sustains you. You can only bear fruit. You can only live and thrive through Jesus. And you will be pruned to bear more fruit. So expect this to happen and thank God when that happens so that you can love more effectively for glory to Jesus. Please join me as I pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the love you've shown us in Christ Jesus. Thank you that you sent him to lay down his life for us so that we could be friends with Jesus, not outcasts, not people just deserving your wrath, your anger to be punished. But you deeply love us, so that we could be friends and have life with you forever. Father, give us joy today as we love you. Give us joy in serving you. And would we love one another genuinely? And would that love overflow, so that more people would experience and know the love of Jesus? They would hear and see what Jesus has done, who he is, by how we love each other. So may we be refreshed in you. May we abide in you today and keep that going. For it's only life is found in abiding in your Son, Jesus. Apart from him, we can do nothing. In Jesus' name, amen.